Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to Ferrovial's conference call for the results of the first 9 months of 2017. Just as a reminder, the results report is available to you on our website, and if you have any question, you either may ask them via an email to ir@ferrovial.com or at this conference call in the Q&A section at the end. With this, I will hand over to Ernesto López Mozo, Ferrovial CFO, who will be leading this conference call.
Thank you, Ricardo, and well, good afternoon, good morning. Thank you all for attending the 2017 first 9 months results presentation. With me today are the CFOs of the different business divisions. I would like to start with some highlights of these first 9 months. First topic would be the performance of our toll roads. Excellent traffic growth, and the managed lanes in Texas showed this double-digit traffic growth in the first 9 months, and very high growth of EBITDA profitability. We'll touch on that later on. And I'm happy to also confirm that we have acquired more participation in these two fantastic assets, NTE and LBJ, 6.3% additional stake in NTE and 3.6% in LBJ that we acquired from the Dallas Police and Fire Department Pension Fund. Other shareholders also joined in acquiring more participation in these assets. Also, excellent news, we'll touch on that later, is that the pipeline in the U.S. is increasing in this type of project. We're seeing good traction, and we look with hope and enthusiasm to these new prospects that could materialize in a year or so. The 407 ETR, of course, also had a great performance, and it's good to see that even now having a quarter that compares to 2016, where the East Extension had free tariffs, we have seen good performance ahead of our expectations. And this performance of traffic in the 407 translated into good growth in EBITDA, more than 12% growth, and this has enabled the announcement of the dividends for the year with a growth of 7% vis-à-vis last year. So this is excellent news. Airports, Heathrow and also regional airports are growing well in traffic and profitability and in dividends. Okay, so we are seeing, as we made the comment in the in previous calls, that we were expecting better dividends from toll roads and well, the 407 and the airports, and that is happening. So excellent news. And then in services, we are performing according to expectations. In the UK, AMI is improving profitability versus last year, and also compared to the past quarters, and is on track to achieve the 3-4% EBITDA margin for the full year. We'll touch on that later. Spain and Spectrum performing according to expectations, and in construction, in line. I mean, we had an EBITDA margin of 4.8 and EBIT to sales margin of 4%, in line with what we mentioned in the previous calls, with Budimex performing well and the rest more in line with the sector. Okay, so with that summary of operations, I would just touch on net cash before getting into the discussion of the operations. The net cash position at the end of the quarter is 268 million euros, and basically after increasing the, well, accelerating the share buyback and the dividend payment, something like 313 million euros, and also acquiring this stake in that I mentioned in NTE and LBJ, that was something like $107 million. We'll touch on the working capital evolution. Compared to last year, we have consumed working capital additional 200 million euros. That's concentrated in Poland. I'll explain that later on. Okay, so we'll move into the different divisions now. I'll start with services. Well, following the integration of Broadspectrum, we see that revenues are up 26%. If we exclude Broad Spectrum, like-for-like terms is up 4.1%, and driven more by Spain, that grows in revenues 8.8%, held by more sales with private clients. These sales with private clients usually have a slightly tighter margin, but it's very similar to the ones we have been posting so far. If we look into the EBITDA growth for the whole division, it's 48%. If we do it in comparable terms, it's 7.8%. And then the backlog fell, and that's a combination of two effects. It fell in like-for-like terms 13%, and the this fall has to do with more cautious bidding in general in the UK. Australia being a little bit more lumpy, and we expect news in different awards that we've been bidding in this final quarter, so we should see more news on backlog in Australia pretty soon. And then in Spain, I mean, the main reason is that clients are extending contracts in general without doing new bidding, and that's affecting the kind of backlog that we could be expecting right now. But it's not that we see a change in trend in clients. Probably they are taking some time, but they will come back to the market. Okay, so if we look into the performance for Spain, UK, and Broad Spectrum, Spain, I already said that it grew 8.8% in sales, and EBITDA went up at 5.8%. And as I said, it has to do with a composition of more contracts with private clients, but still good and solid growth. In the UK, the revenues remained flat, and the EBITDA margin was 2.6%. Here we have the focus on improving contracts with low returns. And if you look at our guidance, the levers that we have in place to achieve this, part is the exiting of some contracts that were not performing, and this has to do with some utilities, water contracts, and also some waste treatment contracts that have been negotiated, and we should be getting out of them in this final quarter. And also because in important contracts we have the milestones at the end of the year, right? So we are on track, and we should be able to deliver. And then in terms of Broad Spectrum, as I said, is performing in line with our expectations, the acquisition plan, and you see that in this quarter we had good profitability, and we are exiting some contracts that were not performing, and also incurring more demobilization costs of these immigration contracts, and we have less participants in the immigration contracts because they're moving to the U.S., right? So the combination of those things means that even though it has good profitability, the quarter is slightly lower than the previous one, but the prospect is good in this regard. I mean, we are getting out of some contracts we're not performing and looking at other ways to improve and get ready for next year. Okay, so we'll move into construction. In construction, we have sales up in like-for-like terms of 11.9%, and we have a decrease in the EBITDA. That, as we mentioned in the past conference calls, the reasons are, on one hand, we have projects in preliminary stages, lower proportion of contracts where we have our own design included, and where we have bid in complex solutions with other divisions of the group. There's less of so currently in production, and also, as I mentioned in the past conference call, a couple of contracts where we had losses in the first half, right? So we're trading online with what we commented, and the important thing is that the backlog that has some slight growth, 3% in like-for-like terms, will grow much more at the end of the year, because that's where we expect to add some awards that are not yet in the backlog. We have something like 3 billion euros that are not yet in the backlog, like the I-66 or the Denver Airport, and financial closing is expected in this quarter, and therefore the backlog should include. And the good thing is also that these were contracts where we really competed with different designs and also with some complexities from the concessionary point of view, and they should be healthy projects. And also should help, and I will touch on that when I review the cash situation, should help on with advanced payments, prepayments for the recovering cash at the end of the year. Okay, so looking to Budimex, Budimex is really growing in all the lines and with very good margins. Budimex has almost 30%, 29.8% like-for-like EBITDA growth, and is performing really well. I will touch on the cash situation, the main point where we have consumed more cash in working capital than last year has to do with Poland, and I'll touch on that when I cover the cash situation. Okay, so moving into toll roads, I mean, the financial results in like-for-like terms are very good, with revenues up 11.8% and EBITDA up 20.6%. And basically, the like-for-like terms means we are not including some concessions that were in our portfolio at the beginning of 2016. Chicago Skyway and the Aristotle Roads were consolidated for 2 months in 2016, and also the SH-130 was in the first half of 2016 results, but nothing this year. And then Norte Litoral and Algarve have been, Algarve has been in the full 9 months on both years, but Norte Litoral contributed 9 months in 2016 versus 3 months in 2017. Okay, so if we go into the performance by geography in terms of traffic performance, we see growth in the different ones, and you can see that in the report. I mean, Osorno one growing 9.7%, Altema 7.8%, Norte Litoral in Portugal 5.4%, Algarve 15.6%. M4 in Ireland 6.1, M3 9.2. So there's growth across the board. And if we move into the managed lanes in Texas, we have NT with traffic up 10.2% in the first 9 months, 10.1 in the third quarter versus the third quarter of 2016. And we are still seeing a ramp-up situation, and we are also seeing the network of roads that connect with the managed lanes expanding, and that should bode well for the future, right? Because there will be more connection to our roads. LBJ 11% in the first 9 months of 2017. And, the traffic continues to grow above the average rate for the region. In terms of EBITDA, that's where we see really a big impact, with EBITDA growing 35.3% in NTE and 40.5% in LBJ. I mean, it's just a curiosity, but the first 9 months EBITDA of these two assets is very similar to the full year of 2016, so very solid growth. In terms of the 407 ETR, the growth was 2.7% in traffic, and as I said in the opening remarks, now we are in the part of the year where we have not the favorable comparison of the 407 East extension opening for free last year, right? So we were expecting to even see declines in traffic in this part of the year, but it's performing better than what we expected, and therefore we should see growth in the accumulated of the year, right? In terms of the financial performance, as I said before, the EBITDA grew by 12.3%, and the dividends for the full year were announced, 845 million Canadian dollars. That's up 7%. Okay, so very good performance, and also, as I said in the opening remarks, we're getting good news in terms of pipeline. there's new states that are considering this kind of managed lanes with dynamic tolling in the congested areas. So Maryland announced that it's bringing new projects, several projects that could be of the similar size to the I-66, for instance, and we're looking forward to that kind of prospects and more when the announcement has been that they want to have quick decisions, maybe late 2018 award or early 2019. So looking forward to that. I think it's great news that more and more grantors are looking at this opportunity to deliver capacity in a very smart and friendly way. If we move into the airports division, I mean, London Heathrow, probably you've seen the traffic up for the year, slightly more than 3%, and EBITDA increasing by 5.8%. I mean, it's remarkable to see the retail income performance. So the passengers are spending more. I mean, probably the weak pound makes it more attractive. And also one of the things that probably is going unnoticed is that inflation is quite high. In the UK, you have RPI at 3.9%, and as you know, that helps to increase the regulated asset base and creates value by delevering the asset, right? If we look into the other airports, the Aberdeen, Glasgow, and Southampton, we have an increase of traffic of 5.7% and EBITDA by 15%. But probably more important is that dividends distributed to shareholders, dividends or payments to shareholders, were £112 million, and we should be seeing more at the end of the year. So very important growth compared to last year, and excellent operational and financial performance. Okay, so this is the operational review. If we get into the net cash position, we end up with 268, and probably you see that is in comparable terms lower figure than the similar period of the year in 2016. And as I said, we have €200 million of increase in capital consumption, basically concentrated in Poland. And there's different topics here that are affecting. One of them is we have also more industrial construction that has milestones and certification at the more at the end of the year. Probably that's bringing something like €25 million of more consumption in working capital. Also in Budimex, there's purchase of land for real estate. They have this real estate activity there, and compared to last year, also we have close to €30 million more of land purchases. And then we also have more works with the central government that are designed and built, and these kind of projects, the production that is more on design discussions and so on, means that some payments are later than with the usual production, right? So all that is bringing to the €200 million. Also, Budimex mentioned in their call that there has been a change in the VAT regulation for subcontractors, and they cannot charge VAT, and well, Budimex is helping a little bit there with suppliers. But as you see, all this effects, I mean, have really nothing to do with a healthy cash situation, and we should see some sort of recovery on this stuff, right? So when we look into the year end, and probably I anticipate the kind of questions that you have, there's different positive effects at the end of the year in terms of cash generation. I mean, in Poland and the UK, as I mentioned, milestones from clients, certifications and payments are more concentrated in this last quarter of the year. Also, the financial closing that I mentioned of these big projects in the U.S. enables advance payments. I mean, it could vary to a different degree. You could have from 2% to 10% of the revenue. So depending on what could be negotiated there, you could have more cash collections in that regard. Okay, so the message is that the cash position should improve. But probably we don't expect to have the similar success that we had last year, right? So there should be less cash generation. but still a good improvement compared to the current situation. Okay, so with that, I will probably close the call. As I said, we are with positive news on the growing prospects in the U.S., in particular in infrastructure, and with focus and concentration on profitability in services and construction. So with that, we open the floor for your questions. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, the Q&A session starts now. If you wish to ask your question, please dial 01 on your telephone keypad. Thank you. The first question comes from Stephanie Dodd from RBC. Please go ahead.
Yes, hi, three questions for me, please. The first one on the construction margin and the first half results. You had an outlook of above 4%, and the 9 months is at 4.8%. Could you please give us some insight on where you see that going for the full year, if you expect it to be maybe in between above 4 and 4.8 or not? On services, also on margins, please, you achieved 150 basis points expansion in the third quarter, and that was helped by MA also growing 150 basis points. Do you see the trough there and on the margin expansion going forward? And then finally, on provisions, were there any reversals, please? Thank you.
Okay, so I mean, maybe I didn't get some of the questions because the sound was not that that great. I mean, regarding the construction margins, I said in the first half, and it's the same thing, that in terms of EBIT to sales, we don't see trading above the current levels that are 4%. Okay, so we should be south of the 4%, right? In the year end numbers. Okay. In terms of the provisions, yes, there's a provision release of 59 million euros in construction in these first 9 months. And the second one, I guess, was regarding the margins in the UK. I'll pass it on to Fernando. I didn't hear properly the question.
Stephanie, I think that you were asking what's going to be the evolution of the margins in the UK next year. I don't foresee improvements over the 3-4% we are targeting today, because the market we don't expect to change in the short term. That's the reason. Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. The next question comes from Philip Light from CaixaBank BPI. The floor is yours, sir.
Hello, everyone. I have three questions, if I may. The first one is, in fact, a clarification. At 9 months, you reported a 10 million EBITDA from a line called Others, which compared with just 1 million reported at 9 months of last year. I would like to understand what activity is generating this EBITDA, and if we should consider it as a recurrent going forward or as a one-off. The second question is related with Agroma, and if you can give us what was the contribution of domestic markets at both bottom top line and EBITDA during the 9 months, and also how do you see the Spanish construction market during this year and next one, considering the motorways investment plan presented or recently announced by the government? I believe that is close to 5 billion to be invested during 4 years, and if you expect to grab a significant part of this investment. And last one is related with the Denver International Airport contract, and if you can give us more details on the project. What will be your stake in the operating and construction consortium, the equity that you will invest, and if you expect the financial close until year end? Thank you.
Okay, we may ask you to repeat some of the questions because the line didn't sound very well. One of them is that right? You were asking about margins in Spain in construction, domestic construction, right?
The contribution of Spanish activity on agroman, and how do you see the Spanish construction market during the next years?
Okay, we don't see really much growth in revenues. Of course, there has been an announcement of some new PPPs, availabilities to basically launch some new projects. There's been talk about 5 billion in that regard. Well, that's a small amount for the whole market. So, I mean, any new activity is welcome, but we don't see a drastic change in terms of revenues there. Okay, so we see it quite stable. Other questions, and I'll probably ask. Okay, other questions that you were mentioning is in others, EBITDA, and basically you're asking where it came from, right? So this 10 million that we see in others in EBITDA is sale of is a sale of the what we call the what is the beginning of the real estate in Budimex. I mean, since it's separate, it's a business that we don't basically report as separate real estate. We put it as others in the Budimex numbers. You will see that incorporated into the whole numbers that they publish in Poland. Okay. Probably I'm missing other questions. If you could repeat the questions, I can a little bit more slowly because the line is broken.
Okay. So the last one is related with Denver International Airport, and if you can give us more details on the contract, your stake in both the operating and construction consortium, and the equity that you will invest on the project, and when do you expect the financial close?
Okay, in Denver, our participation in the construction contract is 70%. In the concession is 80%, okay? And in terms of the amount of equity, well, the contract is, in terms of construction, should be like a four-year contract that finishes in 2022. And in terms of the equity in the concession, we are just checking the number. It's not that big. Hold a second, I will just get back to you right away. I mean, it's something like $80 million, roughly. Okay. I don't know if I missed any other question.
No, that's all. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. The next question comes from Thomas van der Meijen from Kempen. Please go ahead, sir.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. First, a question actually on your managed lanes and the recent acquisition. Could you maybe give more light on why the pension scheme is selling out? And secondly, although it's small, you bought slightly more than a pro rata stake in NTE. Is there a specific reason for that? Secondly, on the managed lanes, you were referring to Maryland as potential opportunity. Are there also other states that you're looking at? I understood Texas, everything seems to be on hold. What do you expect to be the trend going forward? Will there be more projects coming there back on the market? And thirdly, also on your U.S. business, I mean, Denver Airport is now one, but I also understood that you participated in the Westchester County Airport. Bids had to be in summer. Is there any news flow there? Are bids already accepted, or are we in the next phase? Thanks very much.
Hello, this is Paco Clemente from Cintra. In regards of the final amount of new equity that has been acquired from the pension fund, well, it's the outcome of the agreement that has been reached among the remaining shareholders. So it's we have a right of refusal, and we share that right of refusal in such a way.
Okay. The, also, you were asking what was the reason for the pension fund to sell, right? I mean, well, basically they needed liquidity. I mean, they also have people retiring, they have cash outs, and in their portfolio there wasn't that much liquidity, right? So they needed liquidity, and I think it was something that satisfied all the parties. I mean, the current shareholders, and it satisfied their liquidity needs. I mean, they were very happy with the project and investment. They think it was a very successful project, but they needed liquidity. No second reason. Okay, then also you were asking about the airport in Westchester where we are building. We have Iñaki here. I mean, basically the two things to comment. I mean, the first one is that also you could compete there with different designs, and it could be interesting how you could optimize the asset, and it's full privatization. You know that in the U.S. there's limited opportunities of getting into new airports. We manage something like the terminal in the Great Hall in Denver. Here is a full airport, so we're interested in that business. The U.S. is a focus for us, and that's the reason why we're looking at Westchester. And then in terms of pipeline in other states, I'll pass it on to Paco.
Yeah, thank you. Now, in regards of revenue risk that could be willing other state to launch, apart from Texas, in which, as we mentioned, we have a bilateral negotiation with the TxDOT in progress, and in Maryland and Virginia and North Carolina, we are seeing others like Alabama, in which other projects in revenue risk could be launched in the coming future. So it's a widespread fashion all along the United States. So it's a great news for us.
Okay, I think I believe that covered all your questions. If yes, next question, please.
Thank you very much. The next question comes from Guillermo Fernandez-Gao from Deutsche Bank. The floor is yours, sir.
Good evening, everyone, and thanks for taking the question. I have just one. Sorry, because I have not yet had the time to read completely your report. I'm not sure if you comment on that on there, but it seems that the price that you have paid for the implied valuation you have agreed for the NT and LBJ is considerably below your internal valuation just released in your Capital Markets Day last May. My question would be if the reason is because you had some kind of a call option, or the pension fund had a put option at a certain price, or it is just a matter of negotiation with them.
Thanks for the question, Guillermo. It's just a matter of negotiation. As I said, both parties are very happy with the deal.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you. The next question comes from Martin Watchtow, from Bank of America. Please go ahead, sir.
Yes, thank you. Good afternoon. Couple of questions. First is on broad spectrum. You mentioned there were demobilization costs in the second quarter and third quarter. Sorry. Do you expect significant demobilization costs from exiting the immigration contracts in Q4? And my question number two, if I may, can you disclose what is your exposure in Spain to Catalonia in terms of revenue in construction and services?
Well, in the end, in terms of this kind of demobilization cost and let's say less revenue from less immigration, I mean, it will be positive, but the contribution will be small in any case in this last month, this October, right? So we'll be out of the contract at the end of October, and therefore the this contribution will fade away. In terms of our exposure to Catalonia, basically we have, in terms of EBITDA in construction and services, in services we have an EBITDA of 35 million euros more or less for a full year, and in construction 19 million euros, right? And then, of course, Autema de Toll Road is in Catalonia as well, and as you know, this is classified more as a financial. It's an asset where we have basically some sort of compensation also if traffic is not performing, so it's more close to an availability. Okay, so our exposure is limited.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much. And the last question for the moment is from Olivia Peters from Berenberg. Please go ahead.
Good evening, everyone. I've just got two questions, please. The first one is a clarification on the provision releases at the construction business. In my notes, I have that you had a 25 million first half provision release. Is the 50 million number that you've given, is that a nine-month number or a third quarter number? And then I just wanted to follow up on Broad Spectrum. Given the Department of Immigration contract finishes in October, are you comfortable with where consensus is in terms of the profitability forecast for 2018, given the pipeline that you're seeing? And do you typically expect to be at a cash break-even level on your support services contracts by the end of the first year if the pipeline is as strong as you say it is? Thank you.
Thanks, Olivia. Okay, the 59 million provision release is full 9 months. It's accumulated, okay? And then in terms of broader spectrum, I mean, the consensus is very wide. I mean, you have a lot of dispersion, and our idea is to give color in February when we publish the full year results, also provide more visibility. And as I've mentioned in different occasions, we're working on different things. One of them is cost reduction in general to operate with less overheads. We're getting out of some contracts that were non-performing, and that should help next year, but color will be then. In terms of pipeline, as I said in the introduction, is a little more lumpy, right? But it's happening. Now we are expecting the result of a big maintenance contract called OSERS in maintenance of roads in Melbourne. We expect news on that in the coming days, weeks. Looking forward to different opportunities like this one, but it's lumpy. Okay, so the pipeline is there, and this is the part in contracting that could take some more time. But the other levers are already being worked, and that should be positive. Okay, so that's the only color I can provide at the moment.
Sorry, could I just follow up, please? Typically on support services contracts, am I right in thinking that typically there are mobilization costs for the first year, and therefore it has a negative impact on working capital? Is that correct?
Well, it depends also on the contract, right? Because sometimes you get mobilization payment, advance payments in that regard. It depends on the contract, so you cannot generalize, and on this we'll could also provide more color in February, but it's not a general rule that that happens.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you so much, Olivia, and I guess there's no more questions, operator?
Yes, we have the last question from Vittoria Cadelli from Santander. Please, go ahead.
Hi, Ernesto. Apologies for this last question. Can you kindly repeat how you think to recover the 200 million euros capital absorption that we have so far? Just then, what do you think about this recovery, and where you think the cash at the end of the year will stand at holding co?
Well, thanks, Victor. I'll let you know the concepts, but we don't provide our expectation of where the cash will finish. But the concepts, I guess, are similar. I mean, two of the lines is in UK services and in Budimex Poland. Could have more recognition of works, milestones, and certification, and therefore payments at the end of the year. I mean, in Poland, probably because we have some industrial construction in that regard, and some design and build that is also working along those terms. The other points basically is also in terms of advance payments in construction, where you have financial close of very big contracts, and here the degree of the advance payment could be very different. I mean, it could be between 2 and 10%, and if this being contracts, that is quite a difference in amount, right? So that has to be negotiated. I mean, negotiations are advancing, and we should have more cash in from advance payments, you know, on the ICCs and Denver with these financial closings, right? So these are the main concepts, and other years we have had things similar. The only thing I've said is that the kind of cash we generated last year, no, this year we will be short of that, but I cannot provide more color.
Okay, Fabian, thank you.
Thank you. Okay.
Thank
you. Okay, so there's no more questions, and well, thank you all for attending the call. Looking forward to meeting you in the near future. Thank you. Bye.